Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, hello to you on this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us here at Derek Prince Legacy Radio. We are in a marvelous series, a powerful series by Derek Prince called The Enemies We Face. This week, Derek is talking to us about the nature of witchcraft, really redefining what witchcraft is, how it can be broken, how we can get it out of our lives. So let's listen now as Derek teaches us.
You see, it can well be that a husband and wife have differences. The divine order is that they talk it out face to face, prayerfully, and seek God. But manipulation never faces the real issue. It always goes round behind. The real issues are never brought out into the light. And there are, who knows how many millions of married couples, even in this land, that never really bring their differences out into the open. But each tries to go round behind the other to get what he or she wants. That's manipulation. You take the church. There's many, many examples of manipulation in the church. We'll take a Pentecostal congregation, and I don't think there's much I don't know about Pentecostals. I mean, I've been an Anglican and I'm a Pentecostal, and I think basically I know how they operate. I may be a bit out of date with Anglicans, but I mean, there are all sorts of other people I don't know much about. But anyhow, let's take a little Pentecostal congregation. There's a young pastor. It's his first pastorate. There's only about 100 people in the congregation. And he's a little bit nervous and timid. And there's two very spiritual sisters. I mean, not just spiritual, but super spiritual. And they know how the church ought to be run. They don't sit down prayerfully and talk it over with the pastor, but one of them gets a tongue, and then the other comes with the interpretation. And between them, they tell the pastor what to do. You think that doesn't happen? I can tell you, it certainly does. What is that? Manipulation. That's right. Many other areas. Business. People manipulate one another. The boss may manipulate his secretary, or the secretary may manipulate her boss. I can't take a lot of time this evening, but you can see what I'm talking about is something that's natural to fallen man. This is witchcraft as a work of the flesh, and its three trademarks are manipulate, intimidate, and dominate. And I would like to say, wherever you encounter those things, behind them is the power of witchcraft. And when your eyes are opened, it's so much easier to deal with it. One of the most common tricks of witchcraft is to make you feel guilty. Well, you didn't come and see me when I was sick. There I was all alone. Never regard the fact that the other person had a lot to do. I've learned this. If ever I find the person is making me feel guilty, I stop and ask myself what's working through them. You see, as I understand Scripture, the Holy Spirit does not make people feel guilty. He convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He'll put his finger on a specific thing, say, you did that wrong, this is what you have to do. You have to repent and put it right. But guilt is something that you never finish with. You know, it's, did I really do enough? Ought I to have done more? What did I say wrong? Why doesn't she talk to me in church any longer? Another operation of witchcraft is trying to make you feel that the person's opinion and approval is very important. If you don't do this, I won't approve you. They don't say that, but that's the implication. Again, I've learned to ask myself when I'm confronted with that, is that person's approval really so important to me that I'm going to allow myself to be manipulated by it? And generally, my conclusion is it doesn't matter so much. All right, now we're going to move on. Oh, well, let me point out a connecting link in James chapter 1 and verse 14. You see, this desire for power, for control, and also for knowledge is a strong feature of every human being. And Satan exploits this desire to get power over us. This is what James says in his epistle, chapter 1, 14. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desire or lust and enticed. So there is in you this desire for power, for control, for appreciation, for knowledge. It's in all of us. It's born in us. But if Satan can begin to use that, he'll get us under his control. See, you couldn't count the number of people in this nation today who are involved in the occult. I'm sure it must be at least 75% of people in this nation today are involved in the occult. What is the motive that Satan uses? The desire for power, the desire for control, and the desire for knowledge. What was the desire that first got the human race into trouble? Have you ever stopped to think? What was Adam desiring in one word? Knowledge, that's right. And when he reached out for knowledge in an illegitimate way, he became a captive of Satan. Uncounted millions of people are lured into the occult by their desire for knowledge. Where did my son go when he died? What did they end up by doing? Going to a seance. Am I going to have a happy marriage? So what do people do? They go to whom? Fortune teller. That's right. That's the motivation. And that's what Satan exploits.
More to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Since his fall, the devil has been fighting to regain control. In the book, Lucifer Exposed, Derek Prince reveals Satan's tactics for enslaving people into bondage. With it, you'll gain powerful insights into the enemy's schemes, and you'll learn the spiritual keys to thwarting those attacks. In appreciation of your gift of $13 or more, we want to send you a copy of Lucifer Exposed. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, 888-737-0771. You can break the spiritual chains and walk in freedom. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Now, let's look at witchcraft as a spiritual power. Now, we're talking about something that's supernatural. It's more than human ability. Very important to understand that not all supernatural comes from God. A lot of it comes from Satan. There are, I believe, only two sources of the supernatural available to man, God or Satan. Any supernatural power that does not come from God does come from Satan. As I said before, God's kingdom is a kingdom of light. Usually you know where you're at in God's kingdom. Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of darkness. You don't know what's manipulating, what's controlling you, what's driving you. There are, I think, three main branches that we can describe in the English language. In some other languages, you might have to use different, slightly different terminology. They are witchcraft, divination, and sorcery. And I'll try to give you a little picture of each. I think they cover the whole field of the satanic supernatural. Now, witchcraft is the power arm. Its product is power. And it operates through such things as spells and curses. I think perhaps the most single powerful weapon of witchcraft is curses. It's a very old practice. If you go turn to Numbers chapter 22, you find that Balaam was what we would call a witch doctor. Balaam is one of the most difficult types of people to classify that we still encounter today, because he was open to supernatural from both sources, from God and from Satan. And there are a lot of people like that. And they're the hardest to deal with, because sometimes they're right and sometimes they're wrong. If a person's only open to God, he'll always be right. If a person's only open to Satan, it's wrong. But the people that really are difficult to deal with, and we have them in all congregations, are people who are sometimes open to God and sometimes open to Satan. I tell you, for a pastor to deal with them, that requires insight, authority, and courage. Now let's look at what Balak, the king of Moab, said to Balaam, the witch doctor, in Numbers 22, verse 10. Balaam is actually explaining to God the proposition he's had from Balak. Balaam said to God, "Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me, saying, 'Look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth.'" What people was that? Israel, that's right. "Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out." Now, this is standard practice in the cultures of the Bible. It was normal for kings or others going to war not merely to fight them on the natural plane, but to make war on a supernatural plane. And so they would get their witch doctor to curse the other people. There's a list of curses pronounced by the Egyptian pharaohs in the 19th century BC, and there are 66 nations against which they've pronounced curses. See, what's the point of cursing them? You bring them to a place where you can defeat them in war. It's very interesting, when Goliath came against David, he cursed him in the name of his gods. That wasn't just a display of vulgarity. He really was asserting, my gods can deal with your god. So in a certain sense, ancient warfare was often not just a conflict between nations, but it was viewed as a test of power between the gods of those nations. For instance, when God dealt with Egypt and brought Israel out, the psalm says he judged the gods of Egypt. Not just the natural rulers, but the spiritual rulers. So Balak was hired as a good curser. That was his profession. Ruth and I visited Bath a few years ago, and they had just then excavated a pagan temple. And they discovered that one of the main functions of the priests in that temple was to write curses for people who came. They didn't trust themselves to write a good enough curse for themselves, so the function of the priest was to write a really horrific curse against the person whom they wanted to see destroyed. Don't smile at that. I mean, you can smile and think it's funny, but believe me, in a certain sense, it works. People wouldn't spend thousands of years in a certain way of doing things if there wasn't some reality in it.
You know, the beauty of what we are hearing is that witchcraft is so close, so common, so daily, that now we have a grid for understanding it, for detecting it, and for beginning to break its power in our life. If it's just something foreign, just something that, you know, official cults do somewhere on the planet, it wouldn't have much to do with most of us. But it really is something close by, and now we have weapons to use against it. Hey, that's all the time we have for now. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
For more information about anything heard on today's program, give us a call at 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is produced by Derek Prince Ministries in association with Audio Aviators. Visit us securely online at derekprince.org.